Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. A little bit different. It's Friday. It's Football Friday. That's what it is. We typically do this on Tuesdays, but today it's Football Friday on Drive Time Sports. We will mix in a little bit of local as well because we have a lot of basketball. We have five games in 2 days. That's what we have coming up. Tonight we have Emory at home taking on the Richfield Wildcats. Carbon is taking on Mazer Prep. Of course, Carbon on KRPX. Emory right here on KOAL. And then tomorrow we have a triple header here on KOAL. USU Eastern Women, USU Eastern Men, and then Emory and Carbon once again. So a lot of basketball coming up. We will be joined by Coach Vando with the USU Eastern Eagles for our local sports segment today. And outside of that, we are talking NFL playoffs. And I have Vinny Rondinelli in the studio. Like I said, Vinny, typically we're doing this on Tuesday. But on the eve of the NFL playoffs, yeah, we got to talk NFL.
Oh, this is awesome. Yeah, this is awesome. What you wait for all, you know, 16 weeks? You're waiting for this. 17 weeks.
17 weeks.
Yeah, and you're waiting for this.
And I'm going to throw this out there as well. This is a total crapshoot year.
Oh, yeah. There's no clear favorite.
No, there's not.
You know, any one of these teams winning this would not be a shock to me at all.
Right, right.
And it would not be a mind blower. So this is going to be a lot of fun this year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And I'm with you because you say that any team winning would not surprise you. And just taking a look at the bracket, which is sitting right in front of me, we'll start in the AFC. Baltimore, I'm not a huge believer on the Ravens, but look, they've continued to win. The Steelers were 7-2-1. They made a comeback to come back and win the division.
Right. Great defense.
Great defense. Lamar Jackson seems to be getting better and better. He's taking care of the football. The Chargers, one of the better five seeds we've seen in a very long time. They were a game away from winning this division, the AFC West, but the Chiefs, who at one point in time were 9-1, the Chargers have got to be legitimate. Houston, Bill O'Brien has done a tremendous job. This guy was on the hot seat week three. They go on a massive tear, and now the Texans, three seed in the AFC. And
oh, yeah.
The
Watson's
Colts.
On fire. What a D-line they got.
When they're healthy, this team is legitimate. And then I said the Colts, you got Andrew Luck, who is playing some of his best football. Frank Reich, the guy just wins.
Frank Reich's amazing, and he has that underdog, bulldog mentality. And he had it as a player. He had it as a backup quarterback. And like we've talked about in the air, the two greatest comebacks in college football and NFL football history, Frank Reich.
He's
University
of
Maryland,
right.
Buffalo Bills, he comes into football games. He has that underdog mentality, and they're playing like it. They're scary.
One of the best turnarounds we've seen in quite some time.
Amazing. Oh, yeah.
This year. So they win. That's what they do. Now, in the NFC, of course, you have the Rams and the Saints, and we can't forget about the Chiefs and the Patriots. Those are a given in the AFC. But in the NFC, we have the Rams and the Saints. But then you take a look at the matchups that we get this weekend. Dallas and Seattle. We thought it was a semi-rebuilding year for Seattle. That's not the case.
Both.
Pete Carroll was having nothing to do with that. Yeah, Dallas as well.
Same, yeah.
I mean, this is a team we were laughing at the fact that they acquired Amari Cooper for a first-round pick.
Dynamite now.
It turned around.
We were totally wrong about that one.
And then you have the Bears and the Eagles. Again, the Bears, to me, it's a team that's maybe a year or two ahead of schedule. Nagy's done a tremendous job. And the Eagles, whatever Nick Foles has touched over the last 2 years has turned to gold. They find a way to sneak back in. I wouldn't want to play Philadelphia right now.
No, they're defending. They got that mojo. They're the defending Super Bowl champs. Nobody wants to play that team.
And they're good defensively.
And Matt Nagy's got a little something going on. They got a great backfield. If the receivers are healthy, I mean, if Trubisky plays well, that defense is legit. That that Chicago defense is very good. Eddie Jackson's amazing. Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith, they're a very good team. So this is going to be an awesome weekend. I think this is going to be one of the best wildcard weekends we've seen in a long time.
I agree.
A very long time.
I agree. And like I said, regardless of what your prediction is, nobody can look at that and say, what in the world are you thinking? because there's so many different scenarios that could play out. And this weekend is going to be very telling. And so we will talk about this weekend's games. Of course, Vinny, I got to get your Super Bowl prediction. But as far as the NFL schedule goes, Saturday matchups, Indianapolis at Houston, that's what's going to start things off. You realize every time the Texans have been in the playoffs, it's been the wild card round, and they've had the first game on Saturday every time.
At home.
At home.
At home. It's an interesting division, you know, and it's always great when you have a playoff game in the division. A lot of people don't think about this. Mm-mm. This is going to be the third time they play.
Right.
This is going to be the third time they play. So these games at this point are purely physical, and they come down to basically one thing, special teams and mistakes.
Yep.
They know each other. There ain't going to be no surprises. So it's going to be who makes a mistake, whether it be a missed block causing a fumble, something in the neighborhood, or a major special teams error, a big return, you give up, or a turnover on special teams. I think it's going to be a difference in these games, in a game like that. You know, you played each other three times. There's no secrets no more. There is no secrets.
No.
So this is going to be an interesting game. I'm excited about this game.
And then we get the Seahawks and the Cowboys. Now, this is a rematch.
This is a rematch.
And Seattle got the best. But this Dallas team is completely different than, I think it was week three.
Yeah, this is a totally different football team. Yes.
But I still like that matchup a lot. And then Sunday, we get the Chargers and the Ravens. And then we also get the Eagles and the Bears. So we have some great NFL football. And we will talk about that in just a bit here on Drive Time Sports. As far as the national headlines go, really not a lot happening right now. It's kind of the calm before the storm. But if we're talking NFL, we will talk about the NFL All-Pro teams, the choices for the AP NFL All-Pro team. I actually like looking at All-Pro selections. I take more into consideration, obviously, with the All-Pro selections than I do, say, the Pro Bowl. To me, I look at the AP. And here's why, right? Rookie teammates were selected to the All-Pro team for the first time since 1965 today. Can you name the two that did it? I don't know if you've seen the selections. Hasn't happened since 1965.
No, I haven't seen all of them.
Colts got two. Quentin Nelson and Darius Leonard. And both are well-deserving.
Well-deserving. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Now that you said that, that should have been a no-brainer because Quentin Nelson,
he's
dynamite.
Yeah, that was the most sure, safest pick in the draft.
Amazing player. And Darius Leonard, I mean, you're talking, I was reading an article, you know, I'm a Chargers homer, but Derwin James said, if I had to vote for Rookie of the Year, I would vote for Darius Leonard.
Why wouldn't you?
And here's a guy that is right there going for Rookie of the Year.
And he didn't get a Pro Bowl selection.
And that was terrible. That's absolutely, you know what, the commissioner should have stepped in and said, somebody should have stood up and said, put him in the Pro Bowl.
Four rookies on the squad this year. Michael Dixon, the punter for the Seattle Seahawks, and also Derwin James, who you were just talking about, made it. The last time rookies from the same team were all pros, again, 1965. Can you name them?
No, 1965.
It's easy. It's easy when you think about it. And I'll even give you the team. It's Chicago Bears.
So I was going to say Butkus and Sayers.
There you go.
And Butkus and
Sayers. It's an easy one when you think about it.
Yeah,
right?
I was thinking about it.
So it is cool. And again, it's well-deserved for this Indianapolis Colts team. Nonetheless, all pro selections. Patty Mahomes at quarterback. Todd Gurley at running back. Tyreek Hill would be your flex. Travis Kelce, your tight end. So three out of the first four players I name, Kansas City Chiefs. Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins. To me, I take more into all-pro selections than I do Pro Bowl. And you were just talking about the defensive front for the Houston Texans. J.J. Watt gets himself an all-pro selection at defensive end, well-deserved, along with Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald and Fletcher Cox. Linebackers, Bobby Wagner, Luke Kuechly, and also Darius Leonard. Not a huge surprise, but to me, these are the best players in the NFL. They deserve to get their recognition. And I love the fact that Indianapolis, a team that barely sneaks into the playoffs. Playoffs started for them last week. They have two rookies on this squad. To me, that's just, again, it's Frank Reich. It just fits with everything this guy does. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA tonight. We have a full slate of games. The Utah Jazz will take on the Cleveland Cavaliers at 5:30. That game will not air. Instead, we have Emory High School basketball coming up tonight. Washington at Miami at 6 o'clock. Indiana will take on Chicago. Also in the 6 o'clock hour, Memphis playing host to Brooklyn. And we get Orlando at Minnesota. The Celtics and the Mavericks tonight on ESPN. You'll get a chance to look at Luka Doncic, who may just be the rookie of the year in the NBA. 6:30 tonight, Atlanta at Milwaukee. The Suns will play host to the Clippers at 7. Two nightcap games, Lakers, Knicks at 8:30. Oklahoma City at Portland at 8:30. That game is on ESPN. We've got a break for just a moment. Again, we're going to be joined by a couple of guests. We're going to talk USU Eastern men's basketball, and then we'll continue to preview the NFL playoffs. It's all coming up on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Let's talk JUCO basketball on the Coach's Corner today. Coming up tomorrow, the USU Eastern men's squad, they will open up Scenic West Athletic Conference play at home against Colorado Northwestern. USU Eastern wrapping up non-conference play last week, going 1-1 on the road. Joining us in the studio to talk a bit about the non-conference schedule, what lies ahead tomorrow, and also into the future, we have three guests. Coach Vando, Coach Ray Jones, and Coach Curtis Condi of the USU Eastern basketball team. Guys, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for stopping by today.
Well, thank you so much for having us over here.
First, Coach, how was Christmas? Did you guys get a nice, well-deserved break at least from the action for a minute?
Oh, yeah. So, like, the coaching staff and the athletes, we need that break from each other, you know. But it was good, you know. They came back, and they came back with, energy renewed, and we could have played two really good games, you know, before, like, you know, we started our conference, and we could have, you know, the guys that, you know, they took care of themselves during the break, and you can see they're very, very excited in about, you know, our conference starts.
Yeah, Coach, I mean, for as long as you've been here, I think that this is just a fact in stating that this non-conference schedule was by far the most difficult it's ever been since you've been the head coach. And really, since I've been here over the last 8-9 years, I've never seen a non-conference schedule this difficult for this USU Eastern team. I mean, every opponent was legitimate.
Yes, so that's the intention, you know, at the beginning of the year when I put this schedule together. And we knew that we had, you know, like a team that, you know, have a lot of freshmen, and we have to mature these guys, you know, as fast as we can, and we put them to the test, you know, during the whole first semester. And to be honest with you, you know, they did good. You know, we ended like a 12-6. It's not bad.
No.
You know, when you have, you know, 12, you know, new kids, freshmen. But, you know, but I think right now, you know, like we know that through all these games, you know, like on the road and play against, you know, legit teams, I think, you know, like they are already right now when, you know, we started our conference. So we have three teams in our conference. They are ranking in the top 25. So we're going to need these kids to step up and play and be ready, you know, like the conference is going to be really competitive this year.
There's no question about it. And Coach, speaking of legitimate teams, Indian Hills Community College, I mean, this is one of the top teams in the country year in and year out. We got to see them just a couple of days after Christmas. That's a tough team to play against immediately following Christmas. I don't know if focus or anything was something that you were concerned about. Unfortunately, it was an 18-point loss. But when you go back and you look at that game, Augie was great. I believe he had 21-12, if I'm not mistaken, coming out of that game. So there were some positives against one of the top teams in the country.
Oh, yeah. So like us as a coaching staff, we said that we played that game about maybe 28 minutes. So, you know, the first 8 minutes of the first half was good. After that, you know, we have a lapse of, our defense was bad and our offense was, you know, we are trying to force in some, you know, situations that it will, you know. And then I really like it, you know, on the second half, because we beat them 52-41. So we beat a really, really good team who have a chance to win the Nationals, like 52-41 on the second half. So show us that, you know, the kids fought, the kids are ready, the kids, you know, really, you know, get back where we supposed to, you know, run and do. And you see, like, the next day we beat, you know, Wellington State, that another pretty good team. We beat mm-hmm. them by 20. So that's, you know, give me a feeling that, you know, like tomorrow night when we play CNCC, I think, you know, they're going to be ready. And they, this week, you know, like they've been practicing really, really good. I'm telling you, you know, we can feel that, you know, they are ready to play, Jordan.
You feel better this year? It seems like you're more confident this year than you have been in the past, Coach.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, and I have two great coaches over here that, you know, help me, you know, with, developing these kids. You know, it's making, you know, my job easier. So I never had that, you know, much help. And I'm very confident this year.
Let's go to Coach Ray Jones, who is also in the studio. Coach, now that we are getting prepared for conference play, kind of assess the non-conference schedule for me, the non-conference performance, I should say. Kind of assess the way the guys played as far as your expectations, I guess, if we compare and contrast.
Yeah, I think Coach said we got 12 freshmen with me. We have a new team, and that's junior college ball. So, you know, wherever you start at, you know, you just want to continue to climb the mountain, you know. So I think we've taking care of some of the mistakes that we make consistently. There are some things that we are going to continue to work on, but when you know you're going into the fire now, that wasn't the time to peak. You know, we didn't want to be playing our best basketball in November. You know, so we took the mistakes. We assessed them. I think we started off with a lot of confidence. We faced some good teams, and then we faced some adversity and battle tested. I mean, that's something you hear me say over and over and over. You want to be battle tested going into these games, because some teams don't know how to come back from a deficit. Some teams don't know how to maintain a lead. Some teams don't know how to take a punch. You know, it happens. So I think we've faced pretty much every type of situation in our non-conference schedule that you can possibly face. We've blown teams out. We've gotten blown out. We've had teams go on runs and stop runs. They've gone on runs and we didn't stop runs. I mean, we've seen almost everything that you can get thrown at you. And I think there's a lot to be said about that. So I'm excited about that. I know Coach Mando as well and Coach Condi. So I think our non-conference schedule did us justice.
I remember talking to you, it would have been Black Friday, when you guys were in Wyoming. And it wasn't the best of weekends, because lost a one-point game to Western Wyoming. It was a game this team should have won. I remember you were not happy, Coach. That's one of the very few times I've talked to you on the phone where you've not been happy. Followed that up with a 10-point loss to Central Wyoming. And while it may not have been a great weekend, looking back on it, how much did this team learn and how much did they improve from suffering back-to-back losses in two games that you very easily could have won? And we're talking about situations here.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, of course, going through the storm, no one's happy going through the storm. You know, you look back at the storm after you're out of it and go, man, that was rough, you know, but we didn't die. And so that's the thing we try not to do is, you say don't kill them. You know, you don't kill the guy. You don't assassinate them after losses like that. You hold them accountable. And you make corrections, you know, but you have to keep them confident in what they can do. And we went to practice that we can work. And you mean, what I had to learn, that the fact that I'm just getting out of playing, is that when I lost a game like that, as mad as the coaches were, I knew the mistakes that were made too. So we understand that they know that they didn't play well either. It's not just like three coaches going, we didn't play well. And a whole bunch of players going, man, we played great. That's not how it works. They know they played bad. They know they lost. They don't want to lose, so they came to practice and they worked. That's how this goes, you know. And so I think they bounced back. And I think they learned a lot from it. And you look where we are now, 12-6, and that's not bad at all.
Well, I think if you take a look at the way you guys have played since that time, even in a couple of losses, you guys have played pretty compelling basketball. As Coach Vando was alluding to, even in the loss to Indian Hills, we're talking about a team that is very, very good, and you guys have 28 minutes of solid basketball to look at. So I do believe the team has played better since Thanksgiving.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've played better, and we'll continue to get better. We're not done yet.
Let's go to Coach Condi here for a second. Coach, this is an interesting dynamic with USU Eastern basketball, and I know that you and I have talked about this before. It's been a very long time since there has been three coaches with this program throughout the entire year. What's your job, and how have you been able to kind of, what's the word I'm looking, fit in with Coach Vando, Coach Jones, and with this basketball program?
Well, first off, it's been great to be part of a staff where you just slide right in and be, you know, be welcomed. And so, I mean, with that being said, it's been fun for me just to be a part of it. You know, and the kids are good. They are inexperienced. And it's been, you know, tough for me being at a different level and coming here with that. But excuse me. But it's been good and be able to just be welcomed in and taking a look and seeing a few things. And, you know, and I might bring a little different set of eyes because this is my 30th year of coaching. I've been in the league before. And then also knowing what the, you know, what needs to be done.
You've been at the high school level most recently, right? I mean, we're talking
about... Yeah, but that's an elite level high school.
It is, but how does it compare to having 12 freshmen on this squad? How does it compare?
It's hard. Having 12 freshmen at this level is completely different, because I would get maybe two or three new kids at that level. You know, and you're talking about, you know, like I just spoke last night with a kid that plays for Cal that was playing against USC last night. I was talking with a kid last night that starts for Santa Clara that, you know, that played, that had a big win last night in the West Coast Conference over the University of San Diego. And then I had a kid that I spoke with this morning that plays for Arizona. And they had a big win last night at home against Colorado. So it's different, but basketball is basketball. The difference is I'm dealing with this year maybe kids that aren't quite as talented, but they're older. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Sure, yeah.
And the hardest thing, people don't understand that this level is completely – is the toughest level, but it's my favorite level to be at. Because you're dealing with kids that are still trying to figure out where they are in their lives and where they're at in basketball, because it's kind of that vagabond area of basketball, but it's the purest level of basketball. I just left the most corrupt level of basketball. I have no problem saying that. Uh-huh. It's the most corrupt level of basketball there is. All this thing that you see with the NCAA and all that, they don't even know. Right. They have no clue.
Elite high school basketball.
I don't think they want to know. Mm-hmm. It's like they want to be hands-off and all that. And the new rules that they're putting in, it doesn't even come close to what needs to be done.
It's interesting. We could spend a whole week talking about this kind
yes.
of stuff, couldn't we?
Yes. And the best part is there's no repercussions, so I could open up completely.
I'm going to hold you to that. Let's go back over to Coach Vando for just a moment. Coach, we will talk about the opponent this weekend, Colorado Northwestern. It's only one contest, just Saturday. We don't get the Thursday-Saturday this week. It's just one week or one game this week, and I'm sure that's probably a little bit nicer from your perspective as well. Coach Jones is shaking his head heavily. Yes, yes, that's great to just play one game, prepare for one conference game this week.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, people used to take for granted, you know, CNCC, but, you know, like, that's a huge mistake, you yeah. know? Like, they have, you know, like, I used to say that, you know, when they play us, they have the whole week to prepare just against us. And then, like, they said, hey, man, you know, they know that it's going to be hard to beat, you know, CSI or Salt Lake or Snow. But they truly believe that, say, hey, that's our chance to win, you know, a game in our conference. Let's beat USU Eastern. So if you go over there and then you play, you know, like you take them for granted and say, you know, you will not play, you're not ready to play, you know, you don't have a right approach, they're going to beat you. Mm-hmm. So they're very capable to come over here tomorrow night and beat, you know, us. So our athletes, you know, they know that, you know, and we had, you know, this type of conversation with them. But I think, Jordan, like, you know, through this week, you know, that we've been practicing, I'm pretty sure that, you know, like, they're very excited. They can wait to start the conference. But the most important, like, you know, they are ready to play. You know, I think they're going to have, you know, the right approach, and they're not taking them for granted. I think, you know, like, they will try to send a message to the conference and say, hey, you know, like, we are young, maybe we're not experienced, but we want to compete this year.
Well, Coach, I definitely appreciate you taking out the time to bring the other two coaches down and talk a little bit about the program and preview this weekend's game against Colorado. Looking forward to conference play, and I know we'll be talking again real soon, so thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
Again, that's Coach Vando, Coach Jones, and Coach Condi of the USU Eastern Men's Basketball Squad. Get out to support the Eagles tomorrow. The women's game will begin at 3 p.m. The men will follow immediately after. And, of course, you'll be able to listen to all the action right here on KOAL. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to begin our NFL playoff preview. It's coming up on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. It's Football Friday here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Jordan Buscarini alongside Vinny Rondinelli. Let's preview what we have up and coming in the NFL tomorrow. First, we'll start with the first game. We get Indianapolis and Houston. Vinny, I like this contest a lot. You and I were praising Frank Reich at the beginning of the show. Do not forget, that was their second option at head coach. That was their second choice. They wanted Josh McDaniels.
They hired Josh McDaniels,
yeah. Right? And when I take a look at this team, the one thing that has really irritated me all year is that the Indianapolis Colts, I have no doubt in my mind, are the most disrespected team in the NFL. We talked about Darius Leonard not getting a Pro Bowl nod.
Oh, yeah. You're agreed.
Horrible.
That's horrible.
Okay, that was ridiculously horrible.
Yeah, horrible.
When we talk about elite quarterbacks in the NFL, for some reason, Andrew Luck is continuously left off that list, and I don't understand why. He was a can't-miss prospect coming out of Stanford, and the reason why Indianapolis is in the postseason today, it's because of the amazing leadership they have on the sideline. They drafted extremely well this year. They had the best draft of anyone in the NFL. I don't think you can argue that, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. They're two All-Pros.
And Andrew Luck is playing at an elite level.
Absolutely.
He's playing at an elite level.
Absolutely.
He's healthy. He's got some protection up front. He's got a future Hall of Famer in Quentin Nelson right now at guard that is going to protect him for the remainder of his career. He's not going anywhere. Eric Ebron, it's like a completely different player.
Night and day.
And that is the majority of that is because of Andrew Luck and the level that he has played. This guy makes good decisions in the red zone. We can talk about Marlon Mack. You can talk about Jordan Wilkins. They filled in a couple of different guys out of the backfield. For me, it's what they have on the offensive line, and it's Andrew Luck being healthy. I think Indianapolis is the most disrespected team in the NFL.
I agree with you 100% because when we're listening to everything going on now, you notice it's always, oh, Deshaun Watson, even in this game. And he's played great. That's no disrespect to Watson.
Sure.
He's a great player. But it's almost like they have an advantage, and I don't believe that one bit.
I don't either.
Watson's a great player. But Andrew Luck, they've been playing, and I really believe they have a full-on bulldog, underdog, us-against-the-world mentality right now, where they're telling each other, hey, nobody on this earth thinks we're going to win this football game, and they believe they're going to win it.
I believe they're going to win,
too. I believe they're going to win. I'm picking Indianapolis.
Yeah, me too.
I really am, and I know, hey, love J.J. Watt, love Deshaun Watson. I think he's amazing. I think DeAndre Hopkins is the best receiver in the NFL. What he's done is amazing. But I'm just going to say, I think there's a bulldog mentality. I just think they got something going, and I'm picking Indy in this one. And I hope, I'm going to go out here and be specific with this. I think Marlon Mack's going to be the difference.
I can see that.
I think Marlon Mack's going to be the difference, and I think he's going to be the difference getting to the outside and getting on the linebackers, and I think he's going to give the back seven of Houston problems. Now, hey, the front four of Houston, they're
atrocious.
Dude, they're amazing.
You don't want to go up against them, right?
The back seven? I knew they got Matthew, and he's playing pretty good, and Cunningham and McKinney there, linebacker. But I'm telling you, I think T.Y. Hilton and Ebron, and I think Marlon Mack makes a difference. I'm picking Indy. It's going to be close.
T.Y. Hilton's another guy that does not get a lot of pub.
He does not get a lot of pub.
And he deserves it.
And I think, the only way... And this is possible. I see the only way Houston winning this, Jordan, is if Deshaun Watson does a Deshaun Watson and he plays out lights out.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he beat Alabama, if he plays unreal, Houston wins this football game. But I think Andrew Luck and them guys are going to grind this thing out, and that's who I'm picking to win it. And I think it's going to be a great game. I think this one's going to be an amazing game.
Yeah, well, it's entertaining. It's entertaining front to back. And as we mentioned, you mentioned Marlon Mack. And again, he was not healthy at the beginning of the year, and I believe they started 1-5, if I remember correctly.
I think they were 0-4, weren't they?
0-4, 1-5.
Yeah, they were bad.
And when Marlon Mack found his own, was healthy, the offense did look different. But Andrew Luck was not Andrew Luck at the beginning of the season.
No. There's some growing pains. That was a new coach, a new shoulder.
Let's be honest,
that was a rebuild arm.
He hasn't played in over a year.
Oh, that was a rebuild arm.
Right.
And they had a lot of injuries, too. Let's not forget that. At one time, I think they were playing... I believe it was New England, week 5, week 6 right there on Sunday night. They dressed 42 players.
Mm-hmm.
They had 42 players. That's incredible.
And I think when you get down to it in the playoffs, there's a reason why quarterbacks make the most money in the game, right?
Right. Because touch the ball every snap.
And in the postseason, you have to account for that. I mean, when a game is close... I tend to look at the quarterback and the way Andrew Luck has played. Like I said, it's amazing to me. And one of the other aspects of Andrew Luck's game that is completely overlooked, he can run.
He can move.
We don't talk about that.
No.
Enough. We talk about the mobility of Deshaun Watson. And look, Deshaun Watson's a rare case. And I want to see Deshaun Watson succeed in the NFL because very rarely do you see a quarterback dominate in high school, dominate in college, and dominate in the NFL.
And you've said that to me, all three levels.
He has dominated.
Dominated. Yes.
He has. And yes. So I root for Deshaun Watson because to me, he's a rare player. He's one of those, you know, you and I were talking off the cuff about how people view Patty Mahomes as being the guy that changes the game in the NFL. Look, Deshaun Watson's one of the most unique football players I've seen.
Oh, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I like both, but I like Andrew Luck a little bit more.
And you're right. And you're right. And like I said, these are games. Like when we started this whole thing today, every opinion is probably spot on. I mean, honestly, you could talk us into saying, hey, Houston and Watson are going to win this game. This is why. And we'd be like, hey, great point.
Sure.
These are going to be great games.
I'm not surprised if Houston wins.
Not at all. These are going to be so close and so competitive this week. I think, I'm hoping, that it could go either way. And you're just kind of going, well, what's the X factor? And for me, I think the X factor, again, Watson's amazing. But I think the X factor is just that, it's Frank Reich and their attitude.
Yeah.
I really believe that's the X factor for me. Frank Reich and their attitude. I think they got that underdog, bulldog mentality, and it's going to be the difference.
Let me throw a stat out there for you as well, if we're talking about the Colts' offense here for a moment. T.Y. Hilton has a lot of success at NRG Stadium. Are you aware of his stats here?
Yes,
they are dynamic. 41 catches for 933 yards and 7 touchdowns in 7 games. That's his stats at NRG Stadium. The last 2 trips, he's accumulated 374 yards and 2 touchdowns off 14 catches.
Mm.
He plays well in the stadium, and to me, I know that he's a little bit hobbled at the moment, but to me, I think he's going to be fine. I'm taking Indianapolis to win this game. If the season was 18 weeks and we play 17 games, Indianapolis may have won the division to begin with.
Yeah.
So,
To me,
it's a very close game. I love that it's a division game as well. And that's something that I know you and I will talk about a little bit later on, how difficult it is to have success against teams that you play multiple times. Now, they lost by 3 to the Texans once already. They beat the Texans by 3. We're even money.
It's even money. It really is.
And they both won on the other's home field.
This is even money. And like you said, what we talked about, these games are going to be amazing. No shock at all. Deshaun Watson goes off and they win. We're not going to blink an eye. We're going to go, that was amazing. Deshaun Watson was amazing today.
We agree. Indianapolis gets
Indianapolis, yeah.
Let's move on. Seattle at Dallas tomorrow night. To me, this is Pete Carroll's most complete coaching job that he has had in the NFL.
We agree.
And I know people tell me, well, he's won Super Bowls before.
No, it doesn't, not with that roster.
No. With this roster right now, what the Seahawks have, and their success, it's no secret.
And they've changed.
They run the football.
Yeah, they changed.
That's where their success is.
Yes.
Built. They run the football. Now, on the flip side, when is Dallas most effective?
When they're running it.
When they're running the football. Who can stop and who can establish the run? To me, that's how you decide who wins this game.
Absolutely. And this is another one. You flip a coin. If Dallas plays line of scrimmage, wonderful, and they stuff the run and contain Russell Wilson, I think they win this game. If Russell Wilson gets out and he's in third and manageables, thirds and shorts, that's where Seattle wants to be, and I'm picking Seattle.
I'm going to go with Seattle, too. I agree with you. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to throw a statistic out there, and this is why I'm going to take Seattle. Because, again, I could flip a coin on this matchup.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love Russell Wilson. To me, we're talking MVP candidates. How is this guy not an MVP candidate? Look at the roster that he has. His wide receivers,
he's been amazing.
Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett, are his two main wideouts. How is this guy not mentioned? I thought he should have been in the MVP conversation last year as well. I think it's almost like we expect it. But if I look at the offense and the pass block rate, okay, right now Seattle would be top 5. Dallas is not. Dallas would be, as far as playoff teams, they're one of the lowest in the NFL or out of the final 12 teams. That's going to be a big factor to me. Okay, who establishes a pass rush? Because both teams are going to have success on the ground, right?
Yeah, they're both going to move the ball on the ground.
They're
going to
move the ball on the ground. Who can protect their quarterback better? I don't think Dallas can protect. I just don't think they're going to be able to protect Dak Prescott. I just don't. I think that's where Seattle wins this game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair.
I think it's going to be a low-scoring. It's going to be very tight. You know, I think Ezekiel Elliott, we're talking about a future Hall of Famer here
sure.
at times. He's amazing. But again, these are so close. So you look at just X factors for it. They're so close. For me, I trust Russell Wilson more than I trust Dak Prescott. Now, this could be a coming out party. If Amari Cooper goes off, Dallas jumps up, say a turnover switches this game. In any one of these games, I think they're going to be so close, Jordan, a fluke, a tip ball, right? Mm-hmm. Or something like that. If you were to get that, a special team or defensive touchdown, any one of these games, I think it changes the entire game. I think it changes the entire game. And this one, especially because it's going to be so tight. I don't see this one going, I don't see 24-20 here.
No, I don't either.
I'm talking
I'm talking 13, 10, like the New Orleans game. It's got to be something
in that neighborhood.
Right.
And we've seen Dallas be dominant. With, you know, they beat Drew Brees up one night. We saw him on national TV.
Got blanked by the Colts.
Blanked.
I mean, they were terrible in that game, right? They were terrible
shut
in that
out.
Game.
So I just don't trust them. I don't have that trust feeling. There's that Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. They've been there, done that. And I think they got that little mojo going over Prescott and Jason Garrett. But I wouldn't be surprised either way. Again,
sure.
Amari Cooper could go off. I think the secondary is solid in Seattle, not great. I think the back seven for Dallas is better. I think the back seven for Dallas has been pretty amazing this year.
Mm-hmm.
Smith, Sean Lee is going to play.
Jalen Smith has been amazing.
Van Der Esch, everybody's playing.
And I think this game's at AT&T Stadium, and I got to throw this out there as well. There are certain teams in the league I just don't think home field advantage means anything to, right? Like, I don't think home field advantage means anything to the New England Patriots at this point in time. It means nothing. Okay? I don't believe that the Cowboys have a huge home field advantage with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll on the opposite sideline. They've been there before.
They've been there. They've done this.
It's important for teams like the Rams. The Rams need home field advantage.
The Rams need, right? I agree with you.
The Bears need home field advantage.
That would flip everything for them.
It's not the case with Seattle.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you. I think Seattle can go on the road, and if this game was in Seattle, I'd take them by 10.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, the way that stadium's designed, it's not that loud.
No, but
it's so big and spread out, but it's really, you're right. They don't have
they
that.
They don't have to have
they don't
that.
Have that.
And so to me, that's a non-factor. I'm going to roll with Seattle. I think it's a close game.
Very close 13-10, game. Again,
13-7. I think Seattle gets the win.
Yeah, I agree with you. Flip a coin. You could go either way. I would take either argument. Well, we both have friends that are Cowboy fans. I stick with Seattle, too, though.
Sorry. I apologize. I got to go with Seattle. Hey, we got a break for just a moment. We still have two more games to get into. We'll return in just a moment right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. It's Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Final segment here on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. We're talking NFL playoffs, and we talked about the Saturday games. Let's move into the Sunday games. First up, we have the Ravens and the Chargers. Vinny, I have a hard time with this game, and I'll tell you why. You know, I love Lamar Jackson. I love the kid. Yeah. I think he's one of the top 10 greatest college football players I personally have ever watched. Probably should have won two Heismans in college. You got to be pretty special in this day and age to get two Heisman trophies. He had the numbers. His numbers improved after he won the Heisman. What he's doing with Baltimore, I root for him. I root for him heavily. I want to see Lamar Jackson succeed. If he takes care of the football, the Ravens are tough to beat. On the flip side, I believe the Chargers, in my mind, are the best team in the AFC. I still don't trust the Chargers enough.
I agree with you.
For them to win three games.
And I'm a Charger homer, and mm-hmm. I don't agree with you. And I'll tell you, we watched the game, and they played 2 weeks ago. That's what's an interesting matchup here. They played 2 weeks ago. You know, talking to my favorite football coach, you know, I said everything in that football game went Baltimore. They played the perfect Baltimore game. They were physical. They were fast. No penalties. They got a couple turnovers. Everything went their way. And with 2 minutes left, the Chargers were at the 30-yard line. Gates don't fumble. They're at the 30-yard line. They played their worst football of the year, and they were down 16-10.
Had a chance to win.
They were down 16-10. So I think the Chargers are upset about that. I think when you look at the numbers of that, Baltimore didn't really move the ball well. That defense was, you know, their defense is great, but I think in the playoffs they're going to have to score. And I honestly believe the Chargers play way better on the road than they do at home. They don't have a home.
Yeah, no.
They're 8-0 on the road this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. This, for me, being a Chargers homer, I'm going to pick them. 2 weeks ago, they played their worst football and lost by basically 6 points. I don't see Baltimore matching that again. I just don't think it's all going to go their way again. And I think Lamar Jackson is going to have to make a bunch of plays to beat Rivers this time. And I just don't see it happening. It's going to be a close game.
This team,
and I wouldn't be surprised. Trust me, I would not be surprised if Baltimore won this game.
I would.
But I think this is the game that the Chargers put it together. And I really think they're going to win this football game.
Every year is a different beast. And so it is illogical to say, I don't think the Chargers can make it to the Super Bowl based on what I've seen over the past 4, 5, 6, 7 years. I mean, that's illogical. It does not matter. here's the thing. Baltimore is not built to play from behind because Lamar Jackson has not proven that he can be an efficient pocket passer.
Oh,
he
yeah.
hasn't.
Yeah.
They have the most dominant run game in the league right now.
Right, do.
Okay. So if the Chargers come out, it's 14-0.
This game's over. Yeah, it's you're right. And you're right. And the Chargers tried that in the very first game. Rivers got kind of hit, but the very first play of the game, Rivers threw a bomb to Mike Williams. He was open. If he makes that play, it's probably 7-0. That game's over.
It's completely different.
So the Chargers have to start fast, and they know it. And they know that. But Baltimore again, that's a team that if you let them hang around, they're running the ball. Just like, you know, 2 weeks ago, you let them hang around, they're running the football. You beat yourself, you make mistakes. You know, the Chargers had 3 first downs called back on penalties, and Lamar Jackson made 1 great throw on a bomb. You let them hang around, and that's the kind of team that gets real scary. Like you said, if it's 10-0,
you get a 2-score lead in this game, it's over.
Right. And if you go to halftime and it's 6-3,
they got a chance. Yeah.
And that's what they want. That's what they want.
I'm going to take the Chargers. Okay, last game, and I know we're running out of time. I would love to talk more about this game. Philadelphia-Chicago. To me, it may be the most compelling game of the weekend because everything that Nick Foles touches turns to gold over the last 2 years. And if I'm the Chicago Bears, worst possible matchup in the first round. Worst possible matchup of the first round.
I'm taking Chicago. They're at home. Vic Fangio's been amazing, and I think they have a little something. I'm taking Chicago. This is a kind of an underdog upset deal. But they're at home, and that defense is great, and it's just – I know they have the mojo. They're defending Super Bowl champs. This is my upset pick. I'm taking the Bears.
Well, it's not an upset. They're the 3 seed.
Right, but you know everybody's thinking it's defending Super Bowl champs. They're scary. We don't want the Eagles. I'm taking the Bears.
Man, biggest home favorite on Wild Card Weekend. It's Chicago, and because it's at Soldier Field, to me they have a massive advantage. We were talking about which team's home field effects, and off the top of my head, I think Drew Brees can go on the road and win. Yeah. He's proven that, right? To me, the two teams that it matters most is the Rams and the Bears. Those are the two teams that need
I agree with
home
you 100%.
Field. And so it works in Chicago's favor in that regard. But, boy, I'll tell you, since that Dallas loss, which Philadelphia, if you're an Eagles fan, you're going to cry foul in that game. A couple of calls did not go their way late. Since that loss to Dallas, they beat the Rams in L.A. They beat the Texans at home. And then they had to beat the Redskins, and they blanked Washington. And I know that Washington is down. I get that. But you had to have help and win 3 games, one being against one of the top teams in the NFL, and you did that on the road with a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Once again. Okay.
They got a little something going.
You beat the Houston Texans again with a backup quarterback. Nick Foles threw for 475 yards in that game. I'm taking the Eagles. I'm going to take the Eagles.
I can't argue with you.
And it sets up the Eagles and Saints in round number 2, and nobody could have predicted that at the beginning of the season.
No.
Nobody.
No, not at all.
Because you were thinking maybe that's an NFC Championship preview. The Eagles sneak into the playoffs. Everything, and also, let me throw this out there as well. Give some love to Doug Peterson.
Oh, absolutely. What a coaching job.
Oh, my goodness.
This guy won a Super Bowl, and then he brought him back from the brink.
Yes.
The guy's amazing.
He's an incredible coach. And I love Nagy. I love Nagy as well.
I like it.
It's a fun game, and I'm going to go with the Eagles. We agree on everything except that game.
Yeah, everything except that game. And that was my upset pick. I mean, really, I understand Chicago's the 3 seed, but you have that feeling that this is the Eagles game. You know, there's that momentum they got going
Chicago's
on.
Chicago's a year ahead of schedule.
But I'm taking Vic Fangio on that defense. Okay. I think they got something for Nick Foles. I think they do. I really do. And I, you know, home field, this is a big deal in Chicago.
It is a big deal.
This is going to be huge in Chicago. So...
looking forward to it. We are out of time on this edition of the show. We'll be back again next Tuesday. We'll talk Football Tuesday with you. We'll go over a little bit of everything. We'll know what the divisional round is going to look like. He's Vinny Rondinelli. I'm Jordan Busker. Be safe. We are out.